much about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. Yo, whoa. Turn up the bass in my headphones. Alright, let's do this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh, God, we smoked marijuana. We were smoking pot. We got high that day, and it wasn't legal. I know that. Oh. I mean, I know you could have a prescription if you wanted, and obviously with my brother, we could get one. I mean, it'd be easy. Any doctor gives a prescription for him, and we talk about it all the time. We always talk about how we're going to go get a prescription. We're going to go get, and then we get high, and then we forget, because that's what happens. So we never got it done, but it was just a joint. We just smoked one joint. What's the big deal? A big joint. It wasn't a big Zeppelin joint or anything. It was just like a little tiny pinner joint. That's it. It was one joint. So what?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, will you guys let me know if this ever airs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want some pudding?
Roll up.
Yeah.
Just like the other one.
How many mouths have been on this thing?
This one seems to be about to quit.
What?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Yeah, that whole speech did nothing for me.
Roll.
Fire beer mug.
Just like the other one.
Who wants that?
This one seems to be about to end.
That's crazy.
I don't have another cent.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich and I'll put it in my mouth.
It's not rape if neither party really wants it.
Just pass it around.
Yeah.
Surely you don't consider yourself a suitable example for this community's young people, girls in particular.
Our feature presentation.
Let go! Let go! Let go!
What happened last night? I was Final Four or March Madnessing. I did not NBA.
13-point lead in Milwaukee. Yeah. Lost to Milwaukee.
Ooh. Ooh.
Kobe went off the floor with a crutch.
Oh, really?
Steve Nash re-injured a little something in his leg.
Well, they'll be able to heal soon.
That's what everybody keeps saying. Listen, I'm a big time.
No, I mean because they'll be on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
they won't have
saying,
to work.
Everybody keeps saying, oh, if we can just make the playoffs. That is true to a certain amount, but you got to have another gear.
Right.
Once you get into the playoffs, and I'm not sure the Lakers do this year.
All making the playoffs does for you is it gives you three or four more games.
Right.
That's it.
And you hope to be able to turn it on then, but they haven't been able to flip the switch this entire season. I don't know what makes people think they might do it then.
Yeah, it's one of those, you get down to this. How many games are left? Like six?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. So you got to check what you're doing, check what Utah's doing, and just, keep track of whether you're still in it or not mathematically.
But at least if you make it into eighth place, you get to play the number one seed. So you got that going for you in the first round.
You get something to look forward to. You get to play the best team in basketball. Exactly. Well, I got a great story for you guys today. I think you're going to enjoy this one very much. You're certainly not going to forget it. What is it? Look, there are lots of songs, or thousands of songs, and lots of songs that are memorable, and we've all talked about the earworms, the songs you hear and you can't get them out of your head. It happens to us here at this job. We go home, and for hours, all we can think about is that one song. But what is it about It's a Small World that really it refuses to leave your brain? How is it the most addictive song ever written?
It is. It is the most addictive. I don't know. I haven't been there in 10 years. I'll still end up singing it some days.
That's true.
And when you hear it, like right now, you're hearing a few seconds of it. It kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies because you know what's happening to you. You know that this is going to, you're going to hear this again later, and you're not going to want to, and you don't have any control over it. And it's just stuck.
It's going to be at noon. You're going to be going out to lunch. You're going to be going.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because there was a lawsuit this week that involved the It's a Small World ride. Back in 2009, they had a problem on the ride at Disneyland, and the folks riding it that day got stuck.
Yes.
They couldn't leave.
Right.
For half an hour.
But is there less offensive, other than the song getting stuck in your head, is there a less offensive ride to get stuck on? And nothing happens.
Right. It's pretty safe. I mean, you're just sitting there looking at animatronic puppets, basically. Well, unfortunately, that was not the case for Mr. Jose Martinez, who A, is in a wheelchair, and B, suffers from panic attacks and high blood pressure. Right. And as a result of being on the ride for 30 minutes, he did not medically stabilize, they argued in court, for more than 3 hours. So in other words, he had a panic disorder, so he was miserable while he was there, but then continued to hyperventilate and be sick for some time after he left the ride.
Right.
As a result of that, he sued Disneyland, and it sounds like they may have lost that case. A judge awarded the man how much, do you think, for being stuck in the It's a Small World ride for half an hour?
I would hope about $100. That's what I would hope.
What do you think the answer is, though? And have you had enough of this song yet?
Yes. $2 million.
But I felt like it was important. To keep the song on just to add to the understanding of how miserable this guy was for half an hour.
$500,000.
Well, you guys will be happy to know that he was only awarded $8,000.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
Which actually, these days in crazy lawsuit land, sounds like sort of understandable and maybe even defensible.
Maybe, yeah.
$8,000.
That's excellent.
Anyway, Disneyland, and of course, everything Disneyland says is true, and they were probably the wronged party in this. They say that they did everything they could to help the man out.
Sure.
And,
I believe them.
Disagree with the judge's verdict and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, $8,000 for listening to this song for a half an hour while sitting down.
Listen, survival of the strongest. If It's a Small World kills you, we're not going to miss you. Nothing you have is going to help us. Who's with me? No?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Birthday. It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Best song ever.
Well, let's check the calendar here. Is it somebody's birthday today, Kevin?
Oh, it is my birthday.
How about that?
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
That's true.
If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake.
Happy birthday.
If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake.
Happy birthday.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
I was in the store yesterday looking for a happy birthday card, and they don't have those yet. They haven't started making those, but when they do, man, I'm going to send one.
You have to make that on your computer. There's no way to get Hallmark to do it.
Exactly.
This morning on the show, we have Kristen Schaal in the studio. She's got a Comedy Central stand-up special.
I love her.
Oh, she's so funny.
I was sort of half paying attention last night and going through my email and watching her special at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And she started, I noticed yelling. I was like, what's she yelling about? And I looked up at the computer screen and she was holding a pot and a lid. And she was banging them together and yelling. I was like, what the F is going on right now? So I need to pay more attention to that, I think.
Perhaps.
This weekend, Sunday, is the season finale of The Walking Dead.
Aww.
Yeah.
So sad.
We have the creator, Robert. Exactly. We have the creator, Robert Kirkman, in the studio today. And we're going to try and get answers out of him, which has proven to be worthless in the past.
So why is he coming in?
But we're going to try.
Okay.
We also have Coachella tickets. We got your 3-day passes. We're going to give you a chance in the 6 o'clock hour today and the 7 o'clock hour.
Wow.
And we have Movie Beat as well. So excellent. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Speaking of madness, Ralph Garman, you were at Staples Center last night.
Enjoying some March madness.
Yes, you were. I was stunned watching the game. First of all, sorry about your Explorers losing the game, but I was stunned how many fans there were for both teams so far away from the cities those teams came from. Do that many people travel to see their teams play college basketball?
You don't understand the mania that accompanies college basketball. There's certain schools. Certain
There's
schools.
Never been more yes. people from Wichita in L.A. in history, right?
Exactly.
But yeah. it's also people who moved here from Wichita, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. yeah. There was a big LaSalle alumni event last night at ESPN Zone before the game started. So a lot of people from the school had come out. I got to see some old teachers and other students that I hadn't seen in a long time. But I also met a ton of people now who live in the L.A. area who are who are explorers. So it was kind of a cool event in that aspect. Pre-game,
sure,
we had a good time.
Before the game was great.
Yeah, and about 2 minutes into the game, a lot of the air went out of that balloon. But I'll tell you something. If you're not enjoying and appreciating and taking advantage of the whole L.A. Live Staples Center complex down there in Los Angeles.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. And the way they did it up for this thing, it was just like a big block party. They had said games going off and kids were shooting hoops and there was vendors out there. And it was like a giant fair festival kind of vibe.
They block off the street.
The street. And it was just an amazing event. Really well done down there. And it was just a blast.
Don't you think LaSalle should have gotten some of those kids who were shooting hoops out front to come in and play for them?
Somebody. Or somebody to step up into somebody in the paint and maybe block a shot once in a while. It was just a nightmare. They were just oversized and overmatched. And it was hard to watch those kids because it was a Cinderella moment, you know, leading up to that. They'd won three games in like four different time zones or something over the course of the tournament.
Until the starting whistle blew, it was a Cinderella story.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, great time last night. Great time.
All right, it is finally Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, it's Friday everywhere, but we're taking our first look at the showbiz beat now at 5:55.
Yeah, well, I drank my pain away after the game, too. So,
oh, good.
I don't know what to expect.
I was in rough shape today, though.
All day, so just bear with me. As if it wasn't bad enough, my beloved LaSalle Explorers got bounced out of the tournament last night. Then I'm stuck with this horrible, horrible news. Heartbreaking news. Looks like Kerry Foulkes is out of a job, or Carly Foulkes is out of a job, more importantly. I'm so upset I can barely
I don't
read
even
her
know
name.
What that is.
Carly Foulkes.
Who is that?
Carly Foulkes.
Right, but how do we know her?
You know her as the T-Mobile girl.
Oh, we love her so
I
much.
I love the T-Mobile girl.
What's going on? Please explain.
T-Mobile announced their new advertising campaign this week, and there's neither hide nor hair of our beloved T-Mobile Carly. She is out. Looks like T-Mobile has dropped her from their advertising campaign. They're going in a brand new direction, says a T-Mobile spokesperson.
A worse direction?
Yes, because now we don't have her. First, she was adorable and clad in that pink little dress, and she was sweet, and she was selling us phones. And then she went through some sort of training program and became a badass secret agent, and she was riding motorcycles and flying in helicopters.
They may have lost it there.
Wearing black leather.
Chopping guys in the back of the neck and stealing secret government plans for us. And now she's gone.
Well, here's what I don't know much about advertising, but here's what I do know. If you have a campaign that is working that people love, go ahead and dump it.
Well, apparently, you know, the mobile television, mobile phone business is very competitive, and they have to go a different direction to try to get people's attention again. It worked very well for a short time, and now I guess they have to go do something else to catch our attention, make us go buy T-Mobile phones and sign up with their programs. I don't think anything will be as successful as our little Carly Foulkes, however. She will be missed.
She could take over for Flo, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Send her
Great
over
idea.
That insurance company. I can't remember the name of right
Me
now.
Either.
That's a sign of like an ineffective advertising campaign. Like, yeah, you know, those insurers, they do that. Hey, the Duggars. You familiar with the Duggars on TLC?
Yes.
These are the kids who star in the series 19 Kids and Counting. They have 19 children, the Duggars do.
They don't believe in birth control.
No, sir, they do not.
That's a terrible idea.
They're looking to add to their family.
Yes, they only have 19.
We are open to the idea of adoption, Michelle Duggar said.
Are they just trying to keep the show going?
I think they are. They're running out of storylines. It's like adding Cousin Oliver to the Brady Bunch at the end of that run. I guess that she's no longer going to try to have kids naturally because her uterus has fallen out. But she said, we are open to the idea of adoption. We're praying about it. We will see what God has in store for us. Listen. If you decide to adopt a kid, God is not making that decision. God bless you. I appreciate the fact that you're waiting for him to tell you what to do. But whatever you end up doing, you're going to end up doing it. Duggars! There's a upcoming TLC special called 19 Kids and Counting, Duggars Do Asia. I rented that, by the way.
Did you?
Very sexy. And apparently that's where they got the idea. They were in China during a recent trip, and they visited an orphanage, and they said, hey, we haven't collected any of these kind of kids yet.
We got to finish our collection.
We got to collect them all. This is a great story, and I wish, I hope, I pray it's true. Another scandal for the Kardashian clan this morning. A guy named Michael Gurgenti tells In Touch Weekly magazine that he banged Kourtney Kardashian about 9 months before the birth of her recent son.
Is that right?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is 9 months before the birth of her son, Mason. This is the first kid. The first kid she had. Allegedly with Scott Disick. That's who everyone assumed was the baby father. The two met while shooting a magazine cover, he claims, and now he wants a DNA test to see who the father is of Mason, her son.
Why is he coming out with this now? How old is that kid? Like two?
Kid's got to be pushing three, I think.
Yeah. This is bizarre.
Why so soon?
Cash.
Cash grab?
Yeah, but cash 2 years ago, Kevin. Why wait?
I hope it's true, and I hope it embarrasses the family very publicly. And I hope that slacker mate, Scott Disick, is just standing there with his ascot on, with his thumb up his butt, saying, what, you slept with somebody else? Yeah, loser.
Can that family be embarrassed more?
No, they can't be embarrassed, period. That's the problem. Yeah.
That child is going to be so happy if the DNA comes back and his father is not true. Scott Disick.
That's true. It's like getting a reprieve from the governor just before they're going to throw the switch.
Jackpot.
You're sitting in old Sparky.
High five and everybody. He's not my dad. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Eric Idle, legendary member of the Monty Python Flying Circus comedy group, of course, and a very talented guy in his own right. 70 years old today. Christopher Lambert. He was the Highlander. Also Tarzan, Greystone. 56 years old today. Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 54. Elle McPherson. How beautiful is she still at the age of 50?
Amazing.
Lucy Lawless. She was Xena, Warrior Princess, of course, from Battlestar Galactica as well. 45 years old. And our own, our very own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today. Yeah! Kevin Ryder and Elle McPherson, born on the same day.
How dare you.
How much beauty can the world take?
That's right. Thank you, Ralph.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Like we have every day this week, we will have your Coachella tickets, a pair of three-day passes for weekend number one at 720. That's still happening, but we're going to give you a bonus opportunity to win your way in right now if you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We have a game that we're going to play in a few minutes here, and it will help if you are a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. Of course, they're one of the bands.
Omaroki?
Mercifully, no, not this time.
Sorry.
If you're a Chili Peppers fan, this one is especially good for you because that's one of the bands you'll be most excited about seeing, and one of the game is going to involve the Chili Peppers as well, too. So give us a call, 1-800-520-106, and we'll
Famous
play coming
Peppers?
Up.
Famous Peppers?
Right after Ralph Garman takes a look at the movie beat.
Jalapeno.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Julia.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I'm trying to play the game here. What's the tickets?
It is that you're not playing the right game.
It's not Famous Peppers?
No, it is not.
All right.
Did you say doctor, though? I missed
it. Doctor! I said Sergeant, Julius, and Jalapeno. Did I win?
No.
Oh, all right. Let's take a look at the new movies coming out this weekend. Interesting mix of films from thoughtful to crap.
Which one's the birthday boy going to go see?
Run the gamut. I'm thinking, let me see. Let me look, peruse my list here.
I can tell you without looking.
I'm saying he's going to get to the last one on our list, and we'll talk about that in a moment. First, however, yes, it's cinema's answer to herpes. Tyler Perry is back. His latest outbreak is called Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. He is to movies What Harlequin is to books.
To romance novels.
To romance novels.
Just cranks them out.
Just cranks out these
good or bad.
Crappy, formulaic, just BS films, and this looks no different. However, this one stars movie powerhouse Kim Kardashian. So
what?
No.
Stars?
Well, she's got a major role in it, at least. She's got a significant role in this film.
Wow.
What?
Yes. Brandi Norwood is also in this film, and Vanessa Williams. In the story of an ambitious married woman who's tempted by a handsome billionaire. This relationship leads to betrayal, recklessness, and it forever alters the course of her life. I saw a Tyler Perry movie once. It also altered the course of my life. Here is a scene where some dude's hitting on this married woman.
I find myself very attracted to you.
I find myself very married.
A guy can dream, right?
I can't stop you from dreaming.
What do you dream about?
I don't really dream anymore. What do you dream about?
You?
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't. Do not go in there, girlfriend. You can see this movie everywhere this weekend.
Or
if you want to be a member of the human race, don't do it. Don't go.
Or wait till, Memorial Day. It'll be out on DVD.
There you go. Place Beyond the Pines also opens this weekend in limited release. This looks fascinating. A motorcycle stunt rider turns to robbing banks as a way to provide for his girlfriend and their newborn child. This puts him on a collision course with an ambitious rookie cop. Great cast. Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper, Eva Mendes star in this film.
Wow. All right.
It's in limited release this weekend. You have to work a little harder if you want to check it out. But here's Ryan Gosling telling the lovely Eva Mendes that he wants her to go away with him.
You want a house? I'll get you a house. You want to get the fuck out of here? Well, get out of here. I got that trailer. I'll get a truck. We'll hit the road. You pick a place you like, we'll stop. You don't want to be there. You were out of there.
What about my mom?
She can come.
What about Kofi?
He can stay. He can get his own girl and his own kid. That's every man's right.
Sounds like a nice dream.
Oh, he's dreamy, isn't he, that Ryan Gosling?
Just tell me how many banks I need to rob.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying to her.
The Host opens up this weekend. This is The Host. This is brought to you by the woman who brought you the Twilight books.
Stephanie Meyer,
yeah. This time it's about aliens taking over people's bodies and then making them fall in love and wolves and vampires.
I thought the trailer looked good.
Oh, Lisa!
Curse you, woman.
Saoirse Ronan stars in this film along with Diane Kruger, William Hurt, Jake Abel. Pretty good cast. It looks like another romantic teen sci-fi horror film. You can check it out. Here's a scene where this character, I believe it's William Hurt, is talking about memories, which are stripped away when the alien takes over your body.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about those to Saoirse Ronan.
If our memories are still alive, are we? You gotta believe some people wouldn't go down without a fight. No, I know I wouldn't go quiet, and I've never seen a fight like him now. What she'd fight for more than anything is the people that she loves. I wonder if a love like that might play on someone's mind, heart. It might get somebody to do something they wouldn't ordinarily do. Maybe you're here because you do actually care about Jared and the kid.
Where are the wolves?
I don't think there are any wolves.
That's a long clip that does nothing for me.
Lisa's going. But this is where Kevin's going. I know where Kevin's going this weekend.
Is it a loud movie?
It's a loud movie.
I like loud
movies. I like loud movies. Happy birthday to me, loud movie. G.I. Joe, real American hero.
A lot of good action.
G.I. Joe Retaliation. Already opened. It opened yesterday. You can check that all weekend long. Channing Tatum, Dwayne Johnson, Bruce Willis, Ray Park. The Joes are back fighting their mortal enemy, Cobra, and also dealing with threats from within our very own government, which jeopardizes the very existence of the Joe crew. Go, Joe! Here's some clips from G.I. Joe Retaliation.
My fellow world leaders,
all G.I. Joes around the world were terminated.
Our government has been infiltrated.
Gentlemen, you're looking at an advanced weapons system capable of destroying each of your countries 14 times over, and all at the push of a button.
Boom.
We have to assume that there's no one we can trust.
There is one man.
General, call me Joe.
Call me Joe! He's Joe!
Yippee-ki-yay.
He's the original Joe. G.I. Joe! Yo, Joe! I hate to agree with Kevin, you know, but I might be going to check
it
this
looks like
out
a good time
this weekend.
It's not going to win any awards, but it looks like a good time.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.
Kevin just blinded himself with his headphones.
I've never hit myself harder in the head. It is the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 641.
We are playing a little game that we like to call Kevin Weed's title fight right now for Coachella passes. If you are the winner, you are going to 3 days, a whole weekend of Coachella. Plus, you get to go to the K-Rock house with exclusive live performances from Coachella artists. Once again, Dave the King of Mexico and Lisa May are here. We're about to meet our contestants as we play the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
You know how some people, Kevin, are perfectly nice people until they drink and then they just become ugly drunks?
Oh, yeah.
Dave is my best friend in the world until he steps behind the microphone to play Title Fight, and then he's just a dick.
Well, because you don't announce me the right way. I'm the Title Fight champion.
No, you're not.
I'm a mother loving champion. What?
So I'm going to try again, and I always screw this up, but I'm going to try again to explain the game. Red Hot Chili Peppers are the band we're talking about. Of course, they are the headline act for the Sunday Night Coachella. And the kids, Dave and Lisa, are going to be trying to get you, the callers, to say Red Hot Chili Peppers song titles. They're going to be describing song titles for you without using any of the major words in those titles. You try to come up with the song titles. You try to get as many as you can. And how long on the clock, Kevin? 45 seconds?
45 seconds.
Okay.
And if you don't know one, please pass. If there's time at the end, you can always come back to it. There's no sense using half your time just on one clue. So let's meet our first contestant. This is going to be our man, Rodney. He is on line 3 here to get us going.
All right.
Hey, Rodney.
What's up, guys? Lusty Lisa.
Hi, Rodney.
Was that your Rodney impression?
Less of that. Now, Rodney, did you say hi to Lisa because you want to nail her or because you think you want her to be your partner in this game?
Or both?
A little bit from column A and not part of column 2, so let that be.
Okay.
Okay, does that mean he's picking Lisa or Rodney?
I have no idea. I don't know what he said. Who are you picking? Who are you picking to give clues?
Let's do Dave King of Mexico.
All right.
My man.
Wow.
All right.
We have a winner.
Now, since you got to pick your partner, you also have to go first, which may be a little bit harder. So that means there's 45 seconds on the clock. Again, remember, Dave is going to be looking for titles from Red Hot Chili Peppers songs. Good luck.
All right.
Go.
All right. In the winter, this is a weather.
No.
Yep. All right. Water goes
under the bridge.
All right. This is a girl's name and the state we live in.
California.
All right, this is something when your girlfriend wants to know something, she'll say
like this.
No. All right, cool. This is another. If you're making an offhand remark, you would say like, "Hey, finish the sentence." Come on.
Pass.
Oh shoot. Okay, going back to the first one. Is it something your girlfriend might tell you? Like, it's a pet name.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you said the word tell there. That would have disqualified that one. But those weren't terrible clues. Tell me baby he was looking for, which was the thing you might hear from your girlfriend. And then the offhand remark was, by the way. That was the song title Dave was looking for. But you had a Rodney, you had a great start. You got 3 in your time, and that may be enough to win. So let's meet your competition. And I guess this is going to be what? Line 6, Robert?
Yep. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, what's up?
By the way, I blame Dave for that.
How did you feel about that while you were listening to your competitor Rodney there, Robert?
Pretty confident. I can.
All right.
Okay. Good.
Pretty confident.
No way.
Okay.
All right.
You've got Lisa. I'm sorry, it's not King David, but 45 seconds on the clock. Good luck.
This is when you are unable to come to a halt. You start, but you're unable to. You get a cut, and it heals really badly, and it looks terrible because you've got...
Dark issue.
Yes.
Goodwill is where you go when you want to...
I'm sorry, where?
Goodwill.
Goodwill. Give it away.
Nice. A box has 4...
The side? Other side.
The state that we live in is...
California,
Kansas. He wins! Woo! Look at that! Woo! Look at that! You got 4!
He just wow.
Robert!
You were... You were smart to pass, as it turned out, but I thought you were going to get Can't Stop if you'd give it another minute. That was the first one she was looking for, was Can't Stop. But that was a well-played game. Congratulations. You are going to Coachella. You win awesome. The title fight.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah! The creator of, oh, I don't know, The Walking Dead, the most popular show on television, Mr. Whatever. Robert Kirkman, will be joining us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour today, and the actress and comedian Kristen Schaal will be here at 9 as well. Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
All I did was create a wildly successful comic book and television series and revive an entire genre. That's all he
That's
did.
All. That's all.
I could do that. I could do that right now. I could leave a room right now and do that and come
I
back.
Don't think you could.
Do it. Knock it out. Just knock it out. Sad news leads the Showbiz Beat this hour. Legendary British actor Richard Griffiths has passed away at the age of 65. It's nice that you can belittle the man's legend that way.
That's Bean's that, touching sound effect tribute.
Audio
Thank
stab.
You, Kevin. It was a sincere tribute.
People probably best know him here in the States as Harry Potter's uncle in the Harry Potter films.
Fatty?
Uncle Vernon. One of the muggles. He was also the flamboyant Uncle Monty in the classic 1980s film With Nail and I, one of my favorite films. A huge career on stage, in film, and on television in the UK. Passed away just at the age of 65 years old this week following complications following heart surgery. He was a rather large man.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
So no surprise there. I guess he would have health issues, but still a great actor and by all accounts just beloved by everyone he worked with. Harry Potter himself, Daniel Radcliffe, said that Richard was alongside him during his two most important moments in his career. One, of course, the Harry Potter films. And second, he worked with Richard Griffiths in Equus, the stage show that he did. It was his first big stage production. So, sad news that he's gone, but...
Dead!
Leaves behind an impressive body of work. And what more can any of us hope but that? Anything else touching, Bean, you'd like to add to the eulogy?
Have I ever showed you a picture of my dead dad?
Oh, oops, right. That was the wrong clip. Sorry. I should have. Why do you have when I was ahead?
Why do you have that clip? America's Most Wanted has been canceled. 24 seasons that show's been on the air.
I didn't know it was still on the air.
24 seasons. Well, after Fox dropped it, Lifetime Cable picked it up, and they aired it for many years. Impressive work done by America's Most Wanted host John Walsh, of course. A victim himself of violent crime was the host of that show. And over its 24 seasons, the show directly helped capture 1,202 criminals worldwide.
Wow.
So television that actually added something to the world, that's a rarity.
I've always been impressed with John Walsh when we've had him on the show, by the way. He is a guy who, I mean, that terrible, horrible thing that happened to him and his family, he turned that around into a lifetime of service and really seems passionate about it.
So much so, he's working on a brand new show with Lifetime called John Walsh Investigates, which would be a reworked version of the show focusing on Walsh's crime fighting and victims' advocacy work. So his work will continue on television, even though America's Most Wanted is no longer. Amanda Bynes, she should be on America's Most Wanted. Throw a net over this one. She's just on a tear. This week she's been, it started last week when she said that she wanted Drake to murder her vagina.
Right.
Remember that tweet she put out there?
I don't, but that sounds great.
You were on vacation, I think, when we were talking about her wanting her vagina murdered by Drake. Now she's just been posting odd pictures of her in day-glow blue lipstick and with her cheek pierced. And bystanders say they saw her wandering around Times Square on Tuesday, simultaneously drinking a soda and a coffee at McDonald's. Same time. Two straws. Soda and coffee. How much caffeine do you need? She was dressed in a burgundy and gold skirt, black socks, white tennis shoes, a turquoise and white shirt, a long blonde wig, topped off with a furry hoodie. Usually you have to be pushing a shopping cart to be dressed like that.
That's true.
And, of course, she did pull her shirt over her head and say she was pretending to be a ghost.
That bitch is crazy.
So she's got that going for her. Please leave me alone. I don't want any attention. I'm a ghost. Boo. Where's my coffee and soda?
And day glow.
And Chris Humphreys, this guy, look at him. He's a good-looking kid, a big basketball player. He's got money.
Former Mr. Kim Kardashian?
His current Mr. Kim Kardashian.
Oh, right, sure.
Can't seem to keep a girl. Of course, his relationship with Kim Kardashian went on the rocks after 72 days of marriage. But I just found out that he also lost his recent girlfriend. He was dating a young lady named Lindsay Vonn.
Oh.
You may know her as Olympic skier, Lindsay Vonn.
Wait, he was dating her?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Then she left him. Where'd she end up? Well, she's now committed to another dude by the name of Tiger Woods.
And they're even Facebook official, those two.
Yeah, they have come forward and said, yes, we are really for realies dating. How bad a dude do you have to be that a woman looks at you and then looks at Tiger Woods and says, yeah, I got better chance of a decent relationship over here with a guy who banged 1,400 women while he was married to his smoking hot Swedish supermodel wife?
What happened?
I'll choose door number two, please. So Chris is licking his wounds over losing his most recent girlfriend. And you guys laugh at me. You laugh at me. You laugh at me. You mock. You say, oh, Ralph, you and your silly collectibles, you and your little room full of toys that you keep there and with your Batman things. Oh, you silly, silly man.
Pretty easy to mock.
That's what they said about Debbie Reynolds, Kevin.
Is it?
Debbie Reynolds. Of course, she was an actress, very popular in the 50s and 60s. But her true passion was collecting what people called junk. She liked to movie memorabilia. She'd collect a costume here, a prop here, things there that no one else wanted. She'd go to these wholesales that they would have at the studios when they were trying to empty out some of their storage facilities, and she would pick stuff up. Along the way, she ended up picking up, for dirt cheap prices, things like Marilyn Monroe's dress that she wore in that famous scene where the subway goes by and blows up her dress. Oh, okay, let's just play everything.
What the hell? She
picked up the Maltese Falcon from the famous movie of the same name.
Wow.
Wow, she's got good taste with her collectibles.
She picked up a pair of these slippers that this girl from Kansas once wore that were colored ruby red.
Didn't she have a museum, Ralph?
She did in Vegas for a short period of time. That went under, so yeah. She put all the stuff into storage. Well, she's just finished auctioning off all of her collection. And
yep.
The grand total?
Yep.
She pulled in $12 million.
Wow.
For her warehouse full of what people early in her career called junk. So when I'm a millionaire, none of yous are getting nothing from me. Yours?
A, yours isn't worth that. B, you'd never sell it.
Oh, no, but my wife will when I'm dead. When she's got $12
million. Or when you're out of town.
Yeah, when I'm out of cash.
Do you have an item that is the centerpiece, most valuable thing in your collection, Ralph?
I do have an item.
All right.
You're not telling us, are you?
No, it is an actual pair of screen-worn Batman gloves that Adam West wore in the TV series Batman.
All right.
Actual piece
Pretty
of the
authentic.
Costume from the series. From Adam's collection and himself. I got that.
Oh.
That's pretty much the biggest deal.
Just a reminder. And that's worth close to $12 million, right?
Yeah, well, 11.5.
Just
guessing.
A reminder, Ralph did show up to his wedding in a Batmobile. Back to you.
Back to you. Breaking news. Today's celebrity birthdays. Eric Idle is 70 years old today. Christopher Lambert celebrates his 56th. Perry Farrell, our friend from Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, is 54. Elle McPherson, supermodel, 50 years old today. Lucy Lawless, talented actress who was Xena, the warrior princess, and also on the Battlestar Galactica cast, 50.
She's a regular on Parks and Rec now.
Yeah, she's also
dating Ron Swanson.
Spartacus, Blood and Sand, 45 years old today. And our very own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today. Happy
Yay.
Birthday.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, what's up indeed. Let's get Kevin loaded. Someone bring in some booze. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The K-Rock. Hooking you up with yet another pair of three-day passes to Coachella coming up in about 10 minutes or so from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be doing it for you every morning this whole week at 7:20 and then again at 11:20, 4:20, 7:20, and 9:20 throughout the day on K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com.
Bean, I got a tweet yesterday from a girl who is very angry at us because every time she hears the word Coachella, in her head she hears Ella, Ella.
Ella, Ella, yes. We all do.
Very upset about that.
That was a good time. Now, this hour I'm going to feel very stupid because although I love television and I have a bunch of shows that I watch, we're going to talk about two TV shows this hour that I have never seen. One is going to be in a few minutes. We'll talk about Game of Thrones. But the other is one of the biggest hits on television right now, and it is called Duck Dynasty. Now, I know that Duck Dynasty is the biggest show in the history of A&E. And I know that it involves people who sell duck decoys and duck calls.
Yes.
But I really can't imagine what they're doing on their show every week if just they're just selling duck calls.
Just being all hicks.
They don't hunt, though, do they?
Sometimes.
Oh, they do. They also hunt. Sometimes, so that would be part of the show. Well, they're in the news right now, this Duck Dynasty and this this family, this Robertson family that has the Duck Dynasty. They're in the news right now, and here's why.
They may be TV's most unlikely leading men, but these bushy-bearded, camo-clad, self-described rednecks are America's TV darlings. They're the Duck Commanders on A&E's Duck Dynasty, the cable channel's most watched show. Its third season averages a whopping 8.2 million viewers. It chronicles the rags-to-riches story of the Robertson family from the backwoods of Louisiana. Well, now the family is reportedly ready to cash in some more.
This is just icing on the tip of the iceberg.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, those scruffy faces are sticking together, demanding $200,000 an episode. What's more, season four is on hold until they get it.
That dude that spoke is the me of their group. It's the icing on the top of the iceberg.
There's no icing on an iceberg. What will America do if season four is on hold, though? How will we survive?
That's a good question. And to answer that question, we have Cleophas Shelby, who's the business manager for the Robertson family. Am I saying your name correctly, Cleophas?
Well, that's close enough for me, All right. I suspect.
Good. Good. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for joining me. So you are the business manager for the Robertsons, which means with Duck Dynasty being as successful as it is on and off the TV, the living must be pretty good for you guys out there right now.
Well, I must say we're doing pretty good with the Duck Commander Outdoorsman shop itself.
Right.
The success of the show has led to more people coming on by to buy some, you know, duck calls and duck decoys. And yeah, she goes right there. Another one out the door. But of course, the remuneration from the actual show itself has been less than satisfactory for myself and my clients. So we reckon to fix that pretty damn soon.
Well, that's what I understand. You're asking, your clients or your colleagues are asking for more than $200,000 an episode for season four.
There she goes. That's right. That's what we want. And not only that, we have a list of demands that if they are not met for the upcoming fourth season, there will be no renewal fourth season.
We haven't heard this. We only heard the $200,000.
Well, you know, of course, the cash amount is important for myself and for the Robertson family, but we also got many things, comfort issues on the set and whatnot, that okay. If we don't get satisfied, then there she goes.
Right. Well, Cleophas, what kind of stuff are you looking for? Because I'm sure the network wants the show to continue. I'm sure that they'll be listening seriously to your demands.
Well, if that's the case, then they better provide the following. Right. Each of the Robertsons, all four of the stars, need themselves a gun caddy.
A gun caddy?
Yeah. Of course, you know, everyone's got the gun rack on the truck. But what happens if you're just walking around and you need to shoot something? Well, we need a caddy like golfers have with just a bag full of guns. And so you say, oh, give me that 0.47 and get her done. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to say that sounds reasonable to me, that you have somebody who goes with you everywhere to carry your guns. Why not?
That's right. We also need to have an open season policy on the crew members. Should we shoot a crew member? Well, that's just life in the big city, as we say here in the small town.
That seems that may be a little extreme.
Yeah, you can't just shoot people, Cleophas.
We need a corn mash IV. We need a doctor on standby to provide a corn mash IV at any moment in case any of the fellas run low with their booze. Just stick a needle in the arm and give us some of that sweet corn mash.
Can't drink it?
Kevin, did you know that was a thing, and why don't you have one?
You can't drink it?
No, you can drink it, but what if you're busy shooting and you're just a couple minutes in between when you're going to shoot something? You don't have time to sit down, pour yourself a nice cocktail. You just got to punch her in there and rev her up.
All right.
There she goes.
All right. I've never heard a business manager with a slogan before.
What about we need a food chewer for the set?
A food chewer?
Yeah, the boys are what I like to refer to as dentally challenged.
They don't have a lot of teeth.
And
right.
So sometimes some of the food they serve there on a set involves some mastication.
Right.
And we can't have them, you know, gnawing on a steak for 12 hours or something. We got to have somebody come and get them started. Get them started on that steak. Get a little pre-chewing done before they actually get it in their mouth.
So somebody will chew the steak and then take it out and hand it to them?
Or spit it in the mouth, whatever it takes.
Oh.
I can't believe they want that.
How the transfer is made, just that it gets made, that's all.
All right.
We need us a beard picker.
A beard picker.
A beard picker for each of the fellas. Because you'd be surprised what gets trapped in there. You wouldn't. Sometimes we find used condoms. We
find syringes.
We find, bottle caps, all kinds of things. You know, and a man can't be bothered shaking out his own beard every day. You need someone to go in there and get a good look in there. Put on one of them miner's helmets and go find something and pull it out for us. We need a beard picker.
It is shocking how scraggly those beards look. I will tell you that.
There she goes. That's what I'm saying. And also, lastly, most importantly, we need a genealogist on the set at all times.
A genealogist?
That's right. We need someone to look into the Reynolds family, the Robertson family tree, because fellas have run out of cousins to bang. They done have all of them, so they need some new ones, and there must be some Robertsons out there yet that they ain't got a piece of.
What about people who aren't related to them? Have they thought about having sex with those people?
No, that's gross.
Okay.
There she goes.
Congratulations to Jesus Chavez from Long Beach. Just got 3-day passes for Coachella. We're giving them away at 7:20, 11:20, 4:20 p.m., 7:20 p.m., and 9:20 p.m. So check that out all day long here on K-Rock.
That is a sweet deal right there. Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, joins us next hour. Comedian Kristen Schaal will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. She, of course, from 30 Rock and Flight of the Conchords, and she's just funny. She's just awesome. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All right, so Game of Thrones is coming back, you guys. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Can't wait.
One of the most popular series in the world, and yet another show that I haven't watched. And I think my problem is, Lisa, that first of all, I'm not a big swords and sandals guy in general.
Okay.
Second of all, everything... What? Why are you laughing about that?
It's just a strange category.
It's an interesting category.
I don't know that anyone would consider themselves a sword and sandal person.
I'm not sure I am either.
But it's pretty...
Well, some people love shows like that. They love Gladiator and they love Spartacus. And they're into that time period. I am not in particular. The other thing is it seems dense to me. And by that, I mean my understanding is it's a show that has like 100 characters with 80 plots going on at the same time. I'm not sure I'm smart enough to follow all that. So I've kind of been reluctant to put my toe in the water because it seems like I will drown.
Season 3, though, starts Sunday.
Yeah.
And we've got Dave the King of Mexico here to catch us up.
Go ahead.
What are we missing?
So what happened so far, Dave?
So these seven kingdoms, right? There's one king who sits on an iron chair. What do they call it, right?
Throne?
Yes.
Throne?
No, they call it the Iron Chair, though.
I think so.
Is it called the Game of Iron Chair? Is that the name of the show we're talking about?
No, but it's the Iron Chair or whatever.
All right.
Yeah, so there's this fat guy who's the king. And he brings Ned.
He's the king with the iron chair?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's ruling right now.
Right.
So he brings Ned over, who has this family who owns this land. And Ned brings his family, and then, like, the fat guy dies. So now his bastard son
His evil, evil son.
Oh, his son's a dick. Yeah, he becomes
the ruler.
The ruler, yeah, the king. And
we should be asking Lisa.
And, spoiler alert.
I'm no better.
Spoiler alert. He ends up killing Ned, like, chops his head off.
At the end of season one. Like one of the main characters.
Not even in the end of season one. It was like, oh, it was crazy.
I think we're going to need some calls. Bean, do you feel like we're getting a
so
sense
that
of this?
That was cray cray.
That's
so
just that like storyline.
There's this.
I feel like we should have gone to Lisa too.
Who gets kidnapped and then the dragons hatch, but someone steals them, but then she gets them back.
That's all in the end of season two,
well,
Lisa.
I know, I'm just saying that's another part of the story.
No, because see, she forgot to tell you about Count Drogo, who is this?
Count Drogo.
Yeah, this guy who's like a warlord of this nomad tribe that just kills people.
Are they one of the Seven Kingdoms?
No, they're nomads, so they just roam around and you know they're not like civil. Like the people in the Seven Kingdoms.
Obviously.
Yeah. Right?
So, we just kind of glossed over this, but did somebody say there were dragons on this show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
why?
So
how?
When Count Drogo was married to this girl who was the Targaryen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she was given a gift of dragon eggs, but dragons have been gone. Yeah, they've been gone. And Drogo, you know, he's like this big leader. And when he died, they had to burn them, you know, that's their funeral. So she ends up...
Bean, how do you think this is going?
Look, Dave could be doing a great job of explaining it. I just can't believe it's real.
And then she throws herself into the fire because she's with her husband and with the eggs. And then when she comes out, like, the dude dies and it burns up.
No closer to understanding things than when I was at the beginning.
She's obviously got some magic.
Yeah, because then there's dragons with her.
Right.
It's awesome.
Let's take a few calls. See if you can do a better job than the King of Mexico at recapping just general broad strokes what's going on in the Game of Thrones.
I'd love to hear from people who love this show, too, and figure out what is it about it that is so great.
You're unable to explain anything.
I mean, people who speak English, though, Dave. We want people to speak English.
We got to Catherine, the Lady of the Stark House.
What about Jon Snow?
Jon Snow, the Bastard, or the Wall, or the Wild Walkers, or the Wildlings, and the White Walkers.
1-800-520-1067. Try and do a better job than Dave. Not hard. And we'll talk to you next.
From the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, Lupe writes in, hey, terrible recap, King of Mexico. Here's what you left out. There's a midget.
Right. That's what I know.
I don't even think he mentioned the great Peter Dinklage on this show. And he's like everybody's favorite character, right, Lisa?
He was going to mention him. You didn't give him time. There's a lot to talk about.
He wasn't
going
to get to him for at least a half hour.
Well, true.
We are talking about Game of Thrones. I'm sure that I am not the only person who has not seen the show, but has heard from everybody, friends, family. My wife is just obsessed with it. By the way, she's like practically got a clock in the house counting down till the premiere this weekend.
Hey, Bean, you haven't seen it yet. I've seen two or three episodes, and I think that's worse.
Because, oh, really?
Like, I remember a couple of things, but now I'm way more confused than I would have been had I not even seen it. Yeah. So let's take some calls.
Maybe it's not even possible, by the way, to do any kind of a, you know, simple recap for people because there's so much going on. But let's try Kathleen. She's on line eight. She may have an idea to kind of get us started for new viewers.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hi.
Game of Thrones, help.
Okay, so basically the storyline that I really am following is the Stark family.
The Stark family?
Yes.
Tony Stark.
Man we're talking about, right?
Yeah, no, not Iron Man. But they're named the Stark family. They, the head of the family, I think, is Ned Stark. I'm not really good with the names, but he is like the best friend of the king that currently has already died.
Wait, the king has died or Ned has died?
The previous king died, not Ned.
Okay, well, who's Ned a friend of? The previous king or the new king?
Ned is the head of the Stark family.
Okay.
Nobody's a friend of the new king.
I see, okay.
They're just afraid of him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. I think that's a good start.
That's a little piece of the puzzle we didn't have before. All right. Let's go to Rula. Rula is on line four. She's going to take us in a different direction, talking about Game of Thrones this Sunday night at 9 on HBO. Hi, Rula.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Game of Thrones, help.
Okay. So my story that I'm so invested in is the Targaryen family, which is the blonde girl who Dave so gracefully butchered her story.
Like he does.
What happened was the Targaryen family was defeated for the throne. They were taken out by the Mad King.
Okay.
Oh, no, the Mad King was a Targaryen. He was taken out by the current king's supposed father.
Okay, now which king got killed?
That got killed was Robert Baratheon.
Okay.
He was killed.
All right.
Now, Joffrey, his son, quote unquote, which isn't his son.
It's not his son.
He's now sitting on the Iron Throne.
Okay.
The Targaryen that I'm so invested in, her name is Daenerys. They call her Khaleesi, which is queen in the Dothrakian language.
She's the one with the dragons.
She's the one with the dragons. The reason why she has the dragons is because she is the mother of dragons. The Targaryen.
She's the mother of dragons.
Let her finish.
The mother of dragons. The Targaryens, their symbol was the dragons. They controlled the dragons. They were everything about the dragons. When her brother was killed by Khal, not Count, Khal Drogo, he was claimed to be the dragon.
You're messing with us, aren't you?
No, I'm absolutely not messing with you.
All right.
The brother was killed by Khal Drogo because he got all like, oh, I want my golden crown back. I want this and this and this. So Khal Drogo took a pot of boiling gold and poured it on his head and killed him.
It was bad.
That's a bad way to die.
That is not how you want to die.
So let me interrupt you 1 second there, Rula, because we don't have very much time. And I think you're doing a really good job of putting this into focus for me. So basically, everybody wants to be king, and it's several different families that are all fighting for the opportunity to take over and run the world, right?
Yes.
The guy who hasn't watched an episode just made it more clear for me than anyone else.
Oh, plus there's dragons.
Everyone wants the Iron Throne.
Everybody.
That's gotcha.
Okay.
The Iron Throne, not the Iron Chair.
I just thought Dave was wrong about that Iron Throne. I just thought he made that part up.
But, no, okay. He said Iron Chair. He would not give it throne.
No.
Yeah, remember? It does sound like a throne. All right. Well, that helps a little bit. Now, it sounds like you love the show. And speak to everybody listening who has never watched like me. Is it
can someone jump in at the start of season three and still enjoy it, do you think? Or do I need to go back and catch up for reals and watch the previous seasons before I do?
Sheila, what's your answer to that? Hello, Sheila.
Hello.
What's your answer to that? Can we just jump in the middle?
You know, you could if you don't mind getting frustrated.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I suggest, you know what, reading the book has really helped me a lot.
The books are like 20,000 pages. I've seen those books. They're doorstops.
I'm obsessed with the books.
I don't think that author is going to live long enough to finish writing those books by the way.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that he's going to die before he finishes writing them.
He's like in his 60s or something like that, and he's working on what, like book five or something, and they're all like 2,000 pages long. Yeah. Like, how is he going to make it?
I don't know. We'll hope so. I hope.
All right. Thank you, Sheila. How do we feel now? We ready?
I think I'm just going to dive in. I think if Louis Anderson can dive for the troops, I can watch an episode of Game of Thrones.
Question number one. Does Rick or the governor win the fight? That's question number one.
I don't think that you really want the answer to that question.
I don't think he's dying to know the answer.
So don't bother. Why are you wasting your time? The questions you want to answer.
Sneak it in. And he's not going to see it coming.
Oh, I see.
Because you are pretty obtuse when it comes to language.
You're pretty clever. You're pretty slippery.
It is like Clarence Darrow, man. He just has all sorts of strategies to get inside your head. All right, Robert Kirkman does join us, creator of The Walking Dead. Very excited about the season finale of that on Sunday. That's on the way. Speaking of dead things, Ralph, I understand you have a giveaway to get us going here on the Showbiz Beat this hour.
Let's stick with the dead theme. Let me give away some tickets to an advanced screening of a movie we've all been looking forward to called Evil Dead.
You're all going to die tonight.
Of course, features the line, by noon tomorrow you'll all realize that you're no longer among the living.
You are all going to die tonight.
I like my version better.
I don't.
April the 2nd. It's at the Arclight in Hollywood. Great place to see a movie. The movie will be in theaters on April the 5th, but you'll be seeing it before everyone else, 3 days before everyone else, as a matter of fact. That is, if you're one of our lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of passes to attend the K-Rock advance screening of Evil Dead.
You are all going to die tonight.
Starring Jane Levy and Shiloh Fernandez, brought to you by Sam Raimi, producer and director, of course, of the original, and Bruce Campbell also involved.
Quite a pedigree.
Indeed. One more time.
You are all going to die tonight.
Scary. In a chorus of evil voices.
Yeah, love it.
Sad news while we're talking about movies. Legendary film and stage actor Richard Griffiths has passed away at the age of 65. Many of you know him as Uncle Vernon, Harry Potter's unsympathetic muggle uncle from Harry Potter. He's also the flamboyant Uncle Monty in the cult classic 80s film With Nail and I. Played a lot of uncles, did Richard Griffiths. Great stage actor, too. Many awards given to him in his home country of England. And he passed away Thursday from complications following heart surgery at the age of 65.
I saw him in the History Boys on Broadway. He was great.
He won a Tony for that.
Yeah, won a Tony for that. Won an Olivier for that as well in his home country.
Nothing shouts to me, don't see this more than something called the History Boys.
It was really good. You would have liked it.
Don't be fooled by the title. It's not about guys just reading history books, Kevin. Can you imagine? It might be something more than that if it's a play on Broadway.
Nope.
Is it because it's called the History Boys, you automatically have to take it at face value and assume they're just boys talking about history.
Yep.
That is how I work.
You got the vision of a gnat.
She looks like she's gained weight.
Nope. What the hell does that have to do with anything? What is that?
Was that beer mug again?
Hell no. That was. What was that?
It wasn't beer mug. It was for the...
Who are you referring to, Kevin? Because we weren't even talking about anyone.
The fat guy. He'd already moved on from the fat guy. Just keep going. You guys are the ones ruining it now.
How keep going when you just dropped an anvil on my head like Wile E. Coyote?
I just think you're too...
Someone...
What is that?
Who gives it?
Bitches.
Sorry. Kids. You're both just awful.
Hate you.
Remix.
You know everybody's talking about John Hamm's massive ham?
Yes.
You know, they were talking about the fact on Mad Men, they're moving late into the 60s. Now pants are getting tighter, and he's been swinging commando and distracting people on the set with the enormity of his talent. Well, apparently, Jockey and Fruit of the Loom have both stepped up and offered John Hamm a lifetime supply of underwear. How nice is that of them?
They are offering something to tame the beast that lives inside John Hamm's pants. They're willing to give him something that will support, protect, perhaps even love the problem there on the map.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
So that's nice. John Hamm apparently not happy with all the penis talk.
How could you not be?
Did an interview in Rolling Stone. Several interviews were saying, you know, this is really kind of rude. They're called privates for a reason. I do not like a Tumblr page dedicated to my junk. This is all making me very, very uncomfortable.
The best headline I saw on this story, Ralph, is John Hamm gets treated like an actress and he hates it. Which I thought was an interesting commentary. Because
yeah.
We spent a lot of time talking about women and their privates and body parts.
Well, we talk about their boobs. But we don't spend a lot of time talking about the vajayjay.
Unless it's Anne Hathaway.
Well, yeah, that's true. But she put it out there. If John Hamm was walking around with his fly open and his flying at full staff, for God's sake, then we'd have to talk about it. But we're just looking. We're just peering. We're just peering through that fabric saying, what's in there? What mysteries does that hold? We're all saying to each other. Like a bunch of school children. Today's celebrity birthdays. Eric Idle is 70 years old. We might have to dial up a little always look on the bright side of life to celebrate Eric Idle's birthday, because he, of course, one of the members of the legendary Monty Python Flying Circus. More importantly, a big Broadway impresario brought us Spamalot.
History Boys.
Not History Boys, Spamalot, which is a very entertaining musical if you've never seen it. It was also, let's not forget, part of the Ruddles, too. One of my favorite bands of all time, the Ruddles.
The Ruddles?
The Ruddles! The legendary Prefab Four, the Ruddles?
Mm-mm.
I don't even know what that is.
Dirk, Ron, Barry and Stig, the Ruddles.
You are all going to die tonight.
Christopher Lambert is 56 years old today. Perry Farrell from Porno for Pirates is 54. Elle McPherson celebrates 50. Lucy Lawless from Xena, Warrior Princess and Battlestar Galactica. Spartacus Blood and Sand is 45 years old. And our very own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today. It's the only reason I haven't punched him in the nose yet for what he's been doing to the show.
Wow. Stop.
You have your head up your ass.
Yeah, it's just like that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the best theme in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. He was here at the beginning of part two of season three, and he's back for the finale, which airs this Sunday night at 9 on AMC. I'm talking about the creator and producer of The Walking Dead. Robert Kirkman joins us here on the studio, and writer, I should say. I don't want to shortchange you with your many hats that you wear. How are you, Mr. Kirkman? Welcome back, sir.
I'm doing great. I love being here.
Well, we love having you here. Now, we're all in the mindset of, this Sunday night being the finale and stuff, but you are obviously in a very different place. Where are you in The Walking Dead right now? Like, what are you doing with your days?
I'm finishing up an episode of season four, writing-wise, right now.
What happens?
All the writers are well.
Why do you do that, Kevin?
Everyone dies. We're very much knee-deep in season four. It's really difficult to do these interviews because I have to, watch myself and not, spoil anything that happens 6 months from now.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You are completely out of sync with everybody who watches your show, which must be weird.
It's somewhat frustrating.
Have you started filming that season yet, or are you still writing?
No, we start in May. We're getting very close.
We have had a bunch of your actors and actresses in, particularly this season. We had Stephen Yeun in, who plays Glenn, of course, and we had Norman Reedus in, who plays Daryl, and we had a couple of ladies in. Lori was here, who plays Andrea. Man, what a great cast. And they all love their job so much, which is so gratifying. You don't get the sense that they're coming in and they're like being forced to talk about a job that they have. They seem to really love talking about it.
They're worried that we'll kill them.
Yeah, they're all very worried.
They're like, we love that job. We all stay on that show.
We all ask them about that, and they're like, we don't know until we get the script. We read through it and make sure we're still alive.
I'm surprised that you let people buy houses that work on your show, because it seems like you have an obligation just as a human to say, if you hear that somebody's shopping for real estate, just to pull them in the office and go, seriously, dude, you should be ready.
That never comes up, I swear. That's never happened. We've never been like, oh boy, they're buying a house. Oh, we got to move on this.
Of course, we don't want you to spoil anything.
Rick or the governor?
Of course, we don't want you to spoil, but I would like your comment on an interview that Andrew Lincoln, your star, did with Rolling Stone magazine, where I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that he said by his count, 27 people die this Sunday night. Is that possible?
Oh my God!
It's possible. It might even be more. I haven't gotten an exact count.
It's
certainly set
up that way. It really certainly is set up for all hell to break loose.
I think it's closer to 32.
Oh my God!
So he was under.
He was low on.
Being conservative.
Wow.
So season four, then, is just going to be the remaining cast members in a booth at Denny's.
Pretty much.
Because all of them can fit together in one tiny little table. Wow.
They're taking a small car on the road, and they're all going to be in it.
That is crazy. Is this the biggest scale episode that you guys have ever shot, then?
Death-wise, I mean, there's definitely a lot of death. As far as scale goes, there might not be as many zombies as there were in the season two finale, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been building for this the entire time. I mean,
yes. Of course. We're killing people this season instead of zombies.
Well, people and zombies.
That's true.
Now, tell me about that. This is the voice of Robert Kirkman here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we're talking about The Walking Dead this Sunday night, and this will be a major spoiler alert segment here for the next couple of minutes while we have Mr. Kirkman in here. But
if you're not up to date, we don't know anything that's going to happen Sunday.
Right. If you're one of these people who's still watching season one, for instance, then please check out now. How do you feel? You grow attached to these characters that you've created, and then you grow attached to the actors that are playing the characters. Is it hard for you to say goodbye to them when you lose a guy like you just lost a major character this past Sunday night? Is that a bittersweet feeling for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really rough. I mean, especially coming from a comic book where it's just like, hey, we're not going to write or draw that guy anymore.
Right.
It's a person. You know, there's actors that aren't going to be on set next year and, you know, that we're not going to see as often. And, you know, it's kind of rough. You know, I'll go back to season two. I mean, every now and then I run into John Bernthal, you know, who played Shane on the show,
who's
been around since the end of season two. And it's like, oh, that guy. Man, I miss that guy. Dang it. You know, there's a little bit of regret that comes in there. But
I saw him in a movie recently. I was like, oh, that's the guy from Walking Dead.
Yeah, that guy's big time now.
He's alive.
Snitch. Go see that movie. The Rock
that's
is in
the one.
It. Everybody loves The Rock.
That's the one.
It's kind of nice for Lori, though. She's not completely gone.
That's what I was thinking. She still gets to work.
Yeah. She's annoying me.
We need more ghosts in this show. Lori is not a ghost. I have to say that.
Is that nice for her as an actress, or do you think she'd rather just go off?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know it's fun for everybody, you know, because, you know, we're all friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And all the actors hang out together, and it's good to have people popping back. I mean, we did have John Bernthal come back for an episode.
Briefly,
in season three. And, you know, it's a big moment when those people arrive on set, and it's good to be able to have people come back and visit every now and then.
Why is Lori in a different outfit every time Rick sees her? That's a serious question. I'm not joking. Why is that?
She's a lady ghost, and you know they don't like to wear the same clothes twice.
I keep waiting for the lady ghost to say,
"You are all going to die tonight." But,
different movie. Kevin.
I keep waiting for something to come out of her mouth. Some kind of wisdom.
I'm very excited about that movie.
No, it looks amazing.
I love me some Evil Dead.
You do. Okay.
How can you not? is this giving too much away? I don't know. Will Rick continue to see Lori, or is he getting to the point where he's getting past that? Because he seems like he's kind of not as crazy as he was a couple of episodes ago. Are those visions going to start to fade?
Well, the recent episode where he encountered Morgan, I think, was a horrible funhouse mirror of what his future could be.
That was a great episode.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Great.
Scott Gimple wrote that, did a fantastic job. I think that coming from that episode, you know, he started the healing, and you know that process is probably going to continue into the finale. And I think he's getting a little bit better, but I don't think he'll ever be back at 100%, which is kind of the fun of the show.
Sure.
I think Rick's always going to be pretty damaged.
Should I give up my dream of Carl dying? I feel like that's my dream, and yet it's really not even. It's going the opposite direction.
I think I just give
that up.
Look, I know today's your birthday, so I'd like to say that you know you're going to get your birthday wish. But it's probably not going to happen this season.
All right. Okay.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break here and come back with our friend Robert Kirkman here on The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Mr. Kirkman is sticking around a little while longer than usual today, and we are going to, if it's okay, we're going to include some phone calls. Yes, you are. Because we've locked the door. That's what you don't know when you step in here is you can't leave. So we're going to actually include some phone calls for Mr. Kirkman today. We've been asking the questions all season long. We've had him stop by. But if you have questions about The Walking Dead, we're going to take your calls too at 1-800-520-1067. And more about The Walking Dead when we return right after this on the world famous K-Rock. The Walking Dead is the highest rated. Oh, there we go. The highest rated basic cable drama of all time and is also on, Kevin, in 122 countries in 37 languages.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Awesome.
I didn't know
Robert,
that either.
Robert Kirkman is here. I suspect that you did. Have you seen any of The Walking Dead in some of the other languages, and how much does that blow your mind?
I have not seen that at all.
What?
Now I kind of feel bad now. What the heck? What am I doing with my life?
Are you working with the show still?
No, I mean, I just haven't seen the translations. I got to see that.
It'd be fascinating.
I gotta see that.
Yeah.
You could sit there and watch The Walking Dead like in Chinese or something. It would just be a totally different show. That would be crazy.
That would be really cool. I have to say, it's a little embarrassing, but I speak no other languages. I barely speak English, so...
Hey, welcome to my world.
Mm-hmm. Would be
working all
on
my
me.
World. You know, I always like to mention when you're on, we all think of you as The Walking Dead guy, but you got yourself a little empire with a bunch of other stuff, including some enormously popular comic books. Is it difficult for you with all The Walking Dead stuff to find time to keep up with the other things you do?
Not really. I mean, it's a little time consuming, I guess, but you know, I've my first love is comics, and so, you know, it's really kind of like a joyous pastime for me, so I'm able to find the time to you know, get the scripts done and keep doing that stuff despite all my obligations on the TV show.
If you could only do one, if you could only either write a Walking Dead comic or write a Walking Dead TV show, which one would you choose?
You're going to make me say that on air?
I am.
I'll answer TV show.
No, it's the comic. I mean, I've been doing the comic for 10 years, and I love it. And, you know, I don't know. I could not imagine ever not doing it. So yeah, I mean, I love the TV show. I mean, it's like, you know, the comic edges it by like 2%, you know?
But the comic's your vision, and then someone could take that and do the TV show. Yeah, nobody else could do the comic.
Hey, I've been writing that comic since I was 22, so... Yeah. 23? I don't know.
Rick or the governor?
Rick or the governor?
Who wins? Who wins,
you know,
Sunday night? Who wins?
I can't say. I'll say season 4 is all about the governor and Rick's dead.
Well, I can't take anything from that.
Wait, why you got to be so vague?
I hear you.
Let's take some phone calls for Mr. Kirkman at 1-800-520-1067. And I'll say as a caveat here, he may not answer your question, but at least we can try.
He's a tough nut to crack, I'll tell you that.
Here we go. Let's go to John. He's on line 3. I think he has an outstanding question based on something that we saw, a breakthrough that Rick had at the end of last week's episode. John, you're on with the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman. Go ahead.
Morning, Robert.
Morning.
Guys. Hi. Hey, I got a question for you. Now that we know that it's a democracy after it was a dictatorship with Rick, is it going to be passed? Is the torch going to be passed on to somebody else instead of Rick? Now that I know that Rick wants to be out, is it going to be passed on to somebody else like Herschel or Daryl?
Better not be Herschel. I'll burn this place down.
I love Herschel.
That guy's down a wheel. It's going to be Carl.
Yeah. Now, that's actually a very good question. All I could say as an answer to that is watch season 4, I guess.
No. Oh,
but, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, maybe something like that might be happening. I can't say.
Thank you for that question. I will say that the character arc has been great with seeing what Rick has gone through this season. And when his own son comes up to him and says, you're not fit to lead, basically, and seeing him struggle with that and then come to the realization that, yeah, he doesn't want to be in charge anymore. It's very rare that you see a powerful person walk away from an opportunity like that.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't want it, though, does he? I mean,
yeah.
He's only done it because he had to.
Right.
That to me is what makes me like Rick. You know, he's this guy who, you know, was just kind of pushed into this leadership position. And, you know, he's really just a normal guy. He wants to take care of his family. And he's always been doing the best that he can for the group, you know, but it's not something that he ever really wanted. You know, he's more of an everyman. He's not an action hero. And I think that's really appealing.
And I also love that in, you know, we happen to be talking about a zombie apocalypse, but in any kind of a real life disaster, you know, a flood or whatever it is, people do step up and lead. I mean, somebody always has to do that. And that's the beautiful thing about humans is that one of us usually does. It's never me, though.
No, it's never me.
No one would ever mistake you for that person. Let's squeeze in Patrick's call real quick before the break, and then we'll come right back and get some more calls. He's on line 6, and he's got another question. And I'm sure you get questions all the time that you never even thought of after people watch your show, but here's Patrick with one.
All right.
Hey, Robert, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey, great show, man. Honestly, appreciate your work. I just had a question. See if you can finally answer this. I was just curious, who was the armored ninja that drove the zombie bomb through the gates of prison?
The zombie truck.
That was a nameless member of the Woodbury entourage. It was just somebody that the governor had gotten to do that. So there's not like a big mystery. I get a lot of tweets about like, who's that ninja guy?
Right.
I wish we had thought to make that a ninja guy, because then we could have sold more action figures. But it was just a guy from Woodbury that was helping out.
All right. Did he die?
So the point, right? Is it doesn't matter, right?
Yes, the point is it doesn't matter. Stupid question. Move on.
No. I'm saying it's not a stupid question, but the answer is that it's not anyone significant. It's just somebody who carried out that job.
Yeah, it's actually one of those fun things where you're making the show and you're like, well, there's a guy in the truck. The guy should be armored. Okay, yeah. Well, let's just have that guy, you know, drive in and leave. But you don't realize like how awesome he looks and how people watching the show are going to be like, I want to know more about that guy. So, yeah.
This is like after Star Wars when people are like, wait, why does everyone love Boba Fett? He was in it for like a minute, but you know, some characters just take off like that. All right, let's take a very quick break and come back. I think we can get right back to the phone calls, right? Okay, Robert Kirkman is here. The Walking Dead, of course, season 3 finale airs this Sunday night on AMC at 9 o'clock. And it's in color, right? None of that black and white BS you do sometimes, right?
It's only on Thursdays.
This one's going to be in color. You promise me that?
Yes, we're not going to surprise you.
More of your calls right after this on the World Famous.
This Sunday.
That's the music we love from this Sunday night's Walking Dead, 9 o'clock AMC season finale for season number 3. Our close personal friend Robert Kirkman is in the studio.
I didn't laugh at that.
No, not at all. People probably, these days it seems like if people love something on television, they always want it to be a movie. And I have thought there's no real reason to make The Walking Dead a movie because you can do everything it seems like you want to do on AMC, right?
Yeah, I mean, the technology is such that, we are kind of putting out a movie every week, which I think is a little bit cooler. Also, you know, The Walking Dead is a zombie movie that never ends.
Yeah,
it'd be hard to turn that into a movie. But you never know.
And I love the fact that it keeps, like you said, it just keeps going on and on. You get to know so much more, see so many different things, you know, a lot bigger story than you'd ever see in a movie. So I think that's cool. I do have one question before we go back to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Are there different... Forgive me if this is a stupid question, but are there different degrees of dexterity for zombies? And the reason I ask that is because it seems like some zombies can barely do anything with their hands and feet. Other zombies, like that one a couple of weeks ago, was able to put his arm through a tree and grab Andrea, I think it was. Are some better at moving around than others?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, vastly varying degrees of zombies and what they can do, how fast they are, how strong they are. And I think it's, it all depends on body type. I mean, I think there's wide variation in what humans can do. I think.
Oh, I thought maybe it was newer. I thought if you just turned.
Well, yeah, there's that too. But, you know, there's different types of people with different kinds of abilities that are going to have different kinds of abilities when they become zombies. And then also, you know, as they rot, they get slower. So I think that adds to a lot of the variation that you see.
As they rot. When you become a zombie, people, I mean. And again, I don't want to say the name, but I'm thinking of the major character who was bitten and turned into a zombie last week. When you become a zombie, is it you gradually lose the humanity and become a zombie? Like, I was wondering when he encountered somebody else in that scene, was he aware of that person? Did he still remember who that person was or no?
Well, that's something they're still trying to figure out in the show. I think Milton has done a lot of work to try and discover if there is any kind of humanity left in these zombies.
But he's discovered nothing.
Yeah,
right?
Thus far the discovery has been that there is not. So, it's a lot of people kind of project, you know, like, oh, that person's, you know, feeling bad for me because I see it in their eyes.
Yeah.
And they're really just like, that guy looks tasty.
So, another question that you probably can't answer is that this Sunday is going to be about the battle, I imagine, mainly. Does that mean Andrea is stuck in the chair for till next season?
Well, she might get out at the very beginning of the episode. You never know.
Oh, that means she's not. I think.
That's good. That's good. Let's take the opposite of what he says. Good.
By the way,
the governor's torture room is one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen in my life. We're not going to have to see him use some of the stuff that he was preparing, are we? Because I don't ever want to see a speculum used on your show.
Nor do I.
Promise a season 4 is speculum free.
Yeah, I think we don't have to worry about that.
Okay, good. All right, let's just squeeze in a couple more calls before Mr. Kirkman has to leave. Junior is on line 2. He's got a good hypothetical that only the man who created the characters would be able to answer. Hi, Junior. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Kirkman and others.
Good morning.
Mr. Kirkman, how do you think Rick would have handled the governor's situation had Lori not died?
Ooh. Well, he probably would have been able to handle it a little better. I think, it's very important that he kind of lost it around the time when that conflict was starting to heat up. So, you know, maybe he would have been able to, possibly prevent some of the things that are going to happen in the finale.
Being what? What are those?
I can't say.
What are some of those things? So maybe he would have handled it better, but
like they wouldn't have played Yahtzee the entire episode.
Right, because that's like
going to be a hell of a season ender.
That was a poor choice.
Let's have Elliot next. He's on line four, and I think he has another zombie question.
Hey, Elliot.
Hey, what's up, man?
You're on with Robert. What's your question?
First of all, what did you, nephew? What did you, baby boo?
What did you?
Nice throwback.
And I was actually wondering, back at the CDC, they learned that everyone was actually infected by the virus, but they only turn when they die. So how come they're all so worried about getting bitten, and why are they cutting off everyone's limbs from getting bitten?
Well, the bite kills you.
Immediately, and right?
Yeah. So the bite kills you faster. So you avoid the bite because the bite is going to kill you for sure. And, you know, but if you die under any circumstances, you turn into a zombie. So it's really just about, you know, staying alive.
Until you turn into a zombie.
So if you die of natural causes unrelated to a zombie, you just die of old age. You still turn into a zombie?
Yeah, it's in the air. We found that out last season.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on, Bean. Wow,
that's a rough road right there.
But if you're bitten the ankle, you're going to die. How you cut it off.
Did you ever see the midget zombie movie called Ankle Biters?
I did.
It exists and you must see it. That's as high as they can reach.
How fast does the, when you get bit by a zombie, how fast does it spread throughout your entire body? Like Herschel, how long did he have to cut that leg off to not die?
Well, I mean, it's pretty quick. I think it also depends on the age and the health of the person. So I think, Herschel probably had to get rid of that a little faster than, say, someone like Rick might have to.
Right. Gotcha. All right, let's go to one more. Let's go to Fernando because he has a question about the bigger world that's left after the zombie apocalypse. He's on line six, and he joins us on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Fernando.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I was just wondering if the military is completely wiped out or do we ever get to see them again?
A lot of people ask that all the time, and I think that the military would be on the front lines of this when everything was going down at the very beginning, and I think that, to a large degree that they would have been wiped out to a certain extent, but I think that, there are pockets of that out there. I definitely think that, the military being the most capable among us in a situation like this, there is a lot that would definitely survive, but they would be so spread out that we would see them as randomly as, we're seeing them.
They're
in
not
the show
someplace
the comic.
Regrouping, getting ready for a comeback. That's not happening.
No. I think of them as like, they're in little pockets defending their little areas, much like you see Rick defending his area and the governor defending his area.
And I also think that the military, thank you very much for the question, Fernando. I also think that the military guys, a lot of them would abandon ship and go home and protect their families too, rather than being fighting in the military. What I mean? Like they would take their skills elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think a lot of that was going on. I mean, I kind of work out, a little bit of the backstory, kind of the stuff that we didn't see. And, that's very much a big part of it.
There's no government anymore, right?
Definitely not.
There's no government. And is the zombie apocalypse, is it happen all over the world?
Well, we saw in the finale of the first season that it was definitely happening in France, so I would assume it's happening all over the world. But
Australia
could be fine.
Fine, yeah. They can't swim.
Yeah. That's right. All right, well, look, we're out of time now. You got to go.
No, God.
So, Walking Dead, 9 o'clock AMC this Sunday night. I guess we'll probably say hello, and Kevin will chase you around a maze at Comic-Con in San Diego. That's the next time we'll see you. Is this summer then, right?
I'm looking forward to it.
Wait, I have one last question.
Oh, gosh.
And I need a correct answer for this one.
Okay.
How long is it going to be before we see season four, the first episode? You're not going to do a year on us, are you?
No, it'll be October. I don't know the exact date.
All right,
but,
so this
we
fall.
Always come back in October.
All right, yeah. Just checking. Some of our favorite shows will take a year and a half off, and you go, I don't even remember what was going on.
those shows are lame. Okay. What are they doing?
Robert Kirkman again. The season finale, The Walking Dead, is at 9 p.m. on AMC. Watch it, or you're no friend of ours.
The hilarious Kristen Schaal joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. She seems like such a sweet, nice lady, yet they only cast her to play psychopaths on television. What do you guys think that's about?
She's a psychopath.
Good at it.
Yeah, maybe.
Dude, the last thing you call a psychopath is a psychopath.
Oh, right.
Because then she goes psychopath on you.
Right, yeah, good point. I'm just saying.
I think she's normal.
That's what you say.
She scare me. That's all I'm saying. Rob is here first, though. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show.
Sad news to start off the Showbiz Beat. Harry Potter actor Richard Griffiths has passed away at the age of 65. Richard, probably best known to American audiences at least, as Harry Potter's Uncle Vernon.
from that franchise. He was a huge star in the UK on television and film, but
he was
as well
a huge
as
star.
Stage. He was a big boy, don't get me wrong. He passed away following complications from heart surgery at the age of 65 yesterday. He was also in With Nail and I, played Uncle Monty in that film. If you've never seen With Nail and I, do yourself a favor. It's hilarious and out there and insane and wildly entertaining.
Never heard of it.
Richard E. Grant stars. You've never With Nail and I?
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. You'll enjoy it. He was supposed to be performing here in Los Angeles in September at the Center Theater Group's The Sunshine Boys. He was going to work alongside Danny DeVito with that on stage, but sadly, we won't get to see that now. More tragic news, perhaps even worse than that. It looks like the T-Mobile girl's out of a job.
That is unacceptable.
The T-Mobile girl will no longer be in our TVs driving that badass pink motorcycle of hers, counting how many cell towers there are across America. Love that. Her doing that little rap, flying in helicopters and rappelling down sides of buildings and assassinating people with other phone plans. She was the secret agent of T-Mobile.
Not anymore.
She started off so sweet in that little pink dress, just telling us hi by a phone.
Suckered you in.
Then, man, something happened. She turned. She got dark. Started wearing all that pink leather outfit and just kicking ass and taking names. Well, T-Mobile is going in another direction, as they say, in the business. Unveiled their new advertising campaign this week, and T-Mobile Carly was nowhere to be seen. She has been their spokesperson since 2010. I'm guessing she made a couple bucks. Things aren't too dark for Carly Fulks, the actress, and I hope we'll see her in other stuff because she was adorable. Hope she's not typecast, though, as a pink leather-wearing secret agent. Hard to find those roles. Forrest Whitaker is taking on a daunting task. He is teaming up with Richard Pryor's widow to bring the life of Richard Pryor to the big screen.
He's not starring as Richard Pryor.
No. Okay. He will be producing and probably directing, I'm guessing, the film that he's working with Pryor's widow, Jennifer. Several different producers have attempted this before and found the project too daunting to complete. Martin Scorsese took a shot at it. Never got it to the screen. Lots of actors in the past have been talked about perhaps playing Pryor on the big screen. In their day, Marlon Wayans, Eddie Murphy, Eddie Griffin, Chris Rock, and Mike Epps were all bandied about as being a potential actor to play the comic legend, but they'll probably go with an unknown, I'm guessing, this time around, since those guys are a little bit long in the tooth to play Richard. I think that would be enormously daunting for a comic actor to try to take on Richard Pryor.
Of course.
Because you'll probably be expected to emulate some of his more famous routines and some of his more famous film roles, and how do you do that? How do you measure up to Pryor, right? But did fascinating life, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, he was raised in a whorehouse, basically.
Was he really?
Yeah. Hmm. And his legendary battles with drugs and alcohol.
And fire.
Made him larger than life. Yeah, then, of course, that thing, too, where he set himself on fire. Just a large life he led. This guy says that he is the dad of Kourtney Kardashian's son, Mason, who's got to be, what, three now? Three, 4 years old?
Not the douchebag, yep. Disick?
Scott Disick has always been thought that he was the baby daddy, but this model named Michael Gergenti says that he met Kourtney 9 months before the birth of her son, Mason. They met shooting a magazine cover. They knocked boots, and he claims he is actually the real father, and he wants a DNA test of the little guy to see who the real father is. Khloe Kardashian said, me too. I'd like to know who my father is too, by the way, since we're giving out DNA tests. No word on what Michael's motivation could be. Maybe he just really wants to spend quality time with his son now.
Sure.
That Mason is four.
Sure, that's it.
Maybe that's what it is. And Amanda Bynes is nuts, right?
Well, she does seem to be going all Amy Winehouse on us.
She asks us with one breath to please leave her alone and pay no attention to her. She's retired. She's out of the limelight. And then she starts tweeting pictures of herself, like this week, wearing Dayglo blue lipstick and a collage of pictures. And bystanders tell Us Weekly magazine she was spotted this week at Times Square, dressed in burgundy and gold skirt, black socks, white tennis shoes, a turquoise and white shirt, long curly blonde wig topped off with a furry hoodie, spotted at McDonald's in Times Square drinking a soda and coffee simultaneously, walking into things,
and then putting a shirt over her head saying she was a ghost.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
That's fun sometimes, pretend you're a ghost, pull a shirt over your head and walk into things.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a good time. Of course, I stopped doing... I started huffing a long time ago, so it may not be as fun now. And Kirsten Dunst says, kissing Brad Pitt is not all it's made up to be. Of course, her experience was a little different than most actresses. She was just 11 years old when she did it. But she was talking in an interview about her first role, in Interview with a Vampire, when she was just a child actress. Played Claudia in that, and she had to kiss Brad Pitt. She said it was disgusting.
Disgusting?
Well, she was 11.
She's 11.
Well, how did she kiss him exactly? Was it romantic?
I don't know, Lisa.
Was it supposed to be romantic?
Yeah, yeah, it's romantic.
Oh, well, yeah.
They're ageless vampires, and those two had to kiss. She also said at the time, Brad wasn't the heartthrob he is now. He was a long-haired hippie who constantly watched The Real World, she said. Kirsten was so scared from the scarred from the experience, she didn't kiss another guy until she was 16,
oh,
she
wow.
tells the interviewer. Brad should have been one scared, seeing those teeth come at you. Worse than a vampire. Kissing jaws. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lucy Lawless from Xena the Warrior Princess and Spartacus and Battlestar Galactica, 45 years old today. Elle McPherson turns 50. Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 54. Christopher Lambert from Greystoke and the Highlander, 56 years old. Eric Idle, one of my idols, no pun intended, of comedy from Monty Python and from the Ruddles. Hey, Beer Mug, what do you think? We
got
that song?
I'm ready.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for the sign. Any
back
kind of sign?
To me. I didn't know what was going on. I thought that would be the cue.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly drums. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
They're all up on crosses while they're singing that song in Life of Brian. And another one of my comedy idols, Kevin Ryder. Our own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, indeed. Who's funnier than Kevin? Not intentionally, but who's funnier than Kevin?
How dare you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, I need to get some business out of the way here first with our guest, Kristen Schaal, in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, hi, Kristen.
Hello.
Was there a misunderstanding between you and Kevin when you guys greeted each other a moment ago? Was somebody going in for a tongue? What happened with you two? Because it sounded like there was some mauling happening.
Yeah, well, Kevin came in to give me a real close hug, which is how I like them. And then I just felt his lips, like, brush the side of my cheek, but I panicked. I thought you were going in for a cheek kiss.
Right.
Because I got such big cheeks, there's a lot of area to cover.
Right. And then, so then when I finished the hug, you said, were you coming in for a kiss?
Yeah. Did I mess that up?
Right. And I said no, but I should have said yes if I was
smart. I want to know what you were really doing, Kevin. Were you trying to plan a kiss on Kristen, or was it just a hug and your face just got too close to her face?
The lips were a distraction. I was grabbing her ass and she didn't notice.
No.
I see.
My ass is numb. So much grabbing. I can't feel
Kristen
anymore.
Kristen is back here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is one of our favorites. And I asked the question a few moments ago on the air. I don't know if you were listening in the other room or not, but why are you so sweet and so nice in person, yet so often when you are cast, like on Flight of the Conchords or like on 30 Rock, you are a psychopathic bitch. What do you suppose that's about? What do people see in you that they insist on making you that guy?
I guess I'm versatile, man. I guess they see a real keen actress, you know, someone who can rise to the challenge and be awful on TV.
You certainly play evil. What you put through on 30 Rock was just inexcusable. I'm sorry.
I know. She was a villain. She just wanted to be famous. She kind of reminded me of a reality star.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Do you like those, that kind of role? Is that your favorite?
You know, yeah, I like anything they let me do.
You did two seasons of 30 Rock, the last two seasons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What a great, I mean, you tell me, was it as great an experience as it seemed like it would be from the outside? Because that just looked like the most fun show on TV to work on.
Yeah, well, it was my favorite TV show. It still is. So I watched it, you know, all 5 years. And then all of a sudden I'm like on the set and Jenna is like talking to me in character. And
that's
I was like,
weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Also, it's so meta because, you know, it's a show within a show. So you really can't tell who's a grip and who isn't a grip. Like, the only way you know
that makes sense.
They have, like, a, you know, a, the girly show, like, name tag thing on, and then you know, oh, you're not, like, I can't get anything from you.
Right. Right. You're an actor.
You're
right,
asking, exactly. You were asking extras to get you a donut and stuff?
Yeah. And they were looking at me. I was like, no, that's your job. My donut! If I don't get my donut, I'd flip out, you know, cult production. It's bad.
Tell me about, if you can, in a few words, tell me about working with Tina Fey, because she's someone who all right-thinking Americans just worship, and I can't imagine what it's like going to work every day and hanging out with her.
It's a dream. That's the thing. I looked up to her. She was sort of, still is, an inspiration for me to sort of, like, you know, make it happen in comedy. And she's incredibly gracious and generous. She's, like, down in there with everybody. Like, she's just part of the whole team all the time, and she doesn't stop working. So,
but you're not allowed to look her in the eye.
No!
Right?
No.
Right?
No. If you...
Don't be crazy.
She's so busy all the time. Like, when she's between takes, she'll be sitting in her chair, makeup chair, getting touched up and, like, punching up a script. And it's like one of those things. I went to this exhibit of Leonardo da Vinci in Rome, and I was looking at
the guy
around.
From Titanic, right?
I'm no. The king of the world.
His grandpa.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah. And he, you know, he like constantly was creating stuff and developing stuff. Yeah. And I was like, ah, oh, finally someone who makes Tina Fey look lazy.
Was that show, canceled, or did they decide they had had enough on it?
I think it was sort of a
little bit of both.
No, I don't know. I think everybody sort of agreed that it was a good time to end the show.
It was time to end. Okay. So yeah, was it so. Super sad in those last few episodes, or was everybody just like, hey, this is a great experience and we're just going to enjoy it?
I wasn't in the last. Well, the one I was sort of five away from the end, I think. And people, I don't think it had hit people yet, because I was walking around being like, you guys sad? You guys sad? You guys sad? I was like, guys, this is the last time we're going to eat this donut here.
That's
guys.
Why, that's why that was your last episode.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's why they wrote you out early.
So I am not sure what the mood. I heard the mood on the set was definitely sentimental and sad, of course.
Yeah.
It is a family. It becomes your family. And,
oh,
and
sure,
it was
yeah.
the best show on, like, as far as, like, jokes is, like, packing it in. And
yeah,
so
I agree.
It's like a piece of art every episode.
But remember at the beginning how it was sort of lambasted at the very beginning? It was.
Well, it actually wasn't as good either.
It wasn't nearly as good. Yeah. And she just turned that sucker around.
Well, I think.
Not easy.
Not easy. And I think if you look at all television shows, almost all of them, like even look at the pilot for Seinfeld or Friends,
yeah.
like
yeah.
you gotta let a show develop the voices and get legs to really start running. And the problem in this business is, unless it's a hit out of the gate because it's so saturated, they pull it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just gotta let shows breathe and grow.
It's so interesting to hear you say that, because you are a woman who has just signed on to do a new television show, a comedy, right, for ABC that you're going to be doing called Pulling. And I'm sure you have those exact same fears right now, which is, hey, let us find our legs on this show and make it great before you cancel us, right?
Sure. I mean, I just did. It's just a pilot. So my pilot is like in a horse race. Like there's like 100 horses trying to get on the air. So who knows? But yeah,
that's not the kind of confidence we need from you.
I don't have any confidence in my career. I always book stuff or audition for things and then immediately just assume I won't get it. And it has kept me from slitting these tiny wrists.
Yeah,
those are pretty small.
But I'm very negative.
Well, it sounds to me like you're doing okay. You are a regular contributor to The Daily Show. You are one of the voices, Louise, of course, on Bob's Burgers. You've got this new pilot that might do something, and you've got a comedy special, Kristen Shaw, live at the Fillmore. We have to take a break right now. When we come back, we want to talk all about that, because it does air at the prime location of TV real estate, which is midnight on a Monday.
There's a reason why they hid it.
That's how you know that Comedy Central has confidence in your Live at the Fillmore special. More with our guest, Kristen Shaw, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
47 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:27.
I think they're in love, Lisa. They can't stop looking at each
other.
There is
a thing going on.
There's a
definitely.
Spark going on between Kevin and Kristen Shaw. I think so. Yeah.
How
She just got married. I believe she's very happy.
I am
Green
very
said
happy.
She married the baby Jesus. I didn't understand that statement.
Hey, it is yep. a good Friday.
But she's 6 months in, Kevin. That's when you start to your eyes start to wander. You start to look it? Around at 6 months.
I don't think so.
The beautiful and talented Kristen Schaal is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know what's worse, having your Comedy Central special air at midnight on a Monday or not having it air at all. What do you think, Kristen?
I think having it air, at least in this situation, is worse.
Worse. Okay. So tell us about Live at the Fillmore. What's going on? Why is it so bad that they want to bury it?
I will just say that it did not go my way.
You mean the scheduling of
the whole
the
show?
Whole show. Now I watched half of it and I loved it.
That's great. The other half.
The other half was the week half.
The reason why you got half.
So all right, let's,
no, let's hear from Kristen. Let's hear from Kristen. What went wrong? Why was this such a disaster for you?
It just didn't, you know, sometimes you have a bad night in comedy.
That was not a bad night. That was a great night for you.
What you saw. There's a half hour that you did not see. There's a reason why. But they're going to air it anyways.
Now it's April 1st, so that's Monday. So that's Sunday night at midnight? Or
it's Monday night at midnight.
Monday night at midnight, meaning Tuesday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
At the very coveted midnight spot.
Everybody wakes up at midnight on Tuesday, and they're just like ready to go. They're ready to see comedy. It's not even on April Fool's Day either. That's the other thing. Comedy Central is like, this is such a disaster. Let's just air it on April Fool's Day. And then, but it's not April
Fool's. It's really April 2nd.
It's really April 2nd
at midnight.
And then
that's sort of April Fool's.
Yes, on me. On my whole career.
And then when does the DVD come out?
April 2nd.
The next day.
The real April 2nd.
So they're just basically saying, no one's going to watch it at midnight, so let's go ahead and put it on sale the next
day. Yeah, they're burying it.
They're not even going to replay it and stuff? And
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I mean, I hope not for me. I really hope not.
I don't want to say that Kristen is not committed to the show, but she is tweeting alternate programming that is on at that time. Yeah. For instance, there's reruns of The Fresh Prince you can watch. Yeah. There's a Seen Kojak it. Episode on another channel you
don't
can
care.
Watch.
I did some research, and there is a lot of TV on. There's so many things you could watch. I think, Beverly Hills Ninja is on at that time, if you've seen that
okay.
one.
Okay, all right.
I didn't know about Kojak, so that's a good tip.
Yeah, season 8, episode 5.
Okay.
Nice. Now, Kevin, you brought in a clip from the half hour that you were able to sit through of Live at the Fillmore. What do we need to know before we hear this?
No, I actually had to go to bed. I would have watched the whole thing because it's very funny, but I was doing the email and watching it at the same time, and I sort of wasn't paying attention until I heard a lot of loud noises. And then this happened.
Oh, my God, Lid, you are such an asshole.
Whatever. I bet you missed this ass.
And I looked at the screen and she had, I don't know, a spatula and a pan. What was happening there exactly, Kristen?
I'm basically doing a one-woman show about a semi-autobiographical relationship that I had using some players from my kitchen.
Okay.
All right?
Obviously, Kevin. Yeah. Obviously.
Big budget for the show.
Yeah.
It didn't even look like a new pot.
You gotta get your mind, you know, brighten up, buddy, because this is a little bit alternative,
okay.
All right? There is some props.
I have to really pay attention then.
You
I can't
really
do none of that half paying attention.
Oh, no,
stuff.
No. Right. Like, my comedy's like Chekhov, okay? You gotta, like, key into it.
Okay. So
the guy
up.
From Star Trek, right?
That's right. It is from the future, my friend.
So I gotta get up at 11 and drink coffee. So yeah. that then when I watch it at midnight, I'm up to speed.
Again,
you'll be fresh.
I insist that nobody watches the special.
Okay.
That is my sort of my public announcement for this morning. Just don't watch it.
But buy it on the second.
No.
Yeah, I'm saying buy it on the second.
Can I DVR it or no?
I don't know how DVRs work.
I don't think she was asking how to. I think she was just asking
do
for
I have
your
permission.
I mean, you can do it. It's a free country.
All right.
You know, I couldn't stop them from airing it. They're airing it, so you can watch it if you want to. I'm just saying, I recommend that you don't. Because, again, it illustrates a night of comedy that I don't want to remember.
Okay. That's all we need to know.
That's a fascinating
Monday night
approach.
At midnight on Comedy Central, Kristen Schaal live at the Fillmore. Watch at your own risk. Hey, before you go, I just noticed here that Rolling Stone magazine in their 50 Funniest People Now issue – put you at 36. Do you feel that's about right, or are you disappointed with that in one direction or the other?
Oh, I'm yeah. For now, that's about right.
36. Okay.
Yeah.
How about after we see your special? Then where should you be?
I don't want to talk about it.
Where would you be on the list April 1st at midnight? Then.
Oh, I don't. I think top I would 50? Be in
top 1,000.
I think I would be in the pie numbers.
Oh, wow.
That is kind of sad. Well, good luck with the show or not, depending on what you want.
But thanks, I'm buddy.
Delighted that you came back. We really enjoyed seeing you again like we do, and let's do it again, okay?
Yeah, of course. You're my friend.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin DeBede's April Foolishness 2013. Bill Burr will be there. There are a few single tickets available, I think, still. If you want to go to Ticketmaster and check it out, I would do that quickly rather than lately.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's a hell of a gift, Ralph. Thanks.
I do it quickly rather than lately.
Does that mean now rather than later? Is that what we're shooting for?
I guess that's what he's shooting
for. I don't speak Kevin, so I don't know.
I don't either.
But do it quickly rather than lately.
I'm guessing that. Right.
What have you done for me lately? Well, I did something quickly.
I can't answer that.
Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's Ralph.
How about one more? How about top row?
No,
top
let's road not be crazy.
What's your birthday? It's a party. Let's celebrate.
He has to search for that one.
We really should have been celebrating all day long.
I know.
I don't know why we didn't think about this.
Thanks to the listeners who pointed out, saying, what, really? No drunkie song? No moments with? Nothing? No love for Kevin on his birthday? No conversation about how Kevin has a giant scar on the side of his head today? What'd you do? Did you walk into another bush or something?
I don't know. Do I have a scar?
Yeah, you got a big bleeding hole in your temple there.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you walked into another branch.
I really don't know.
Like you did last time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, but I don't know that he's been able to do it.
No, can.
That was a moment
when you're on the bottom road.
Kevin.
It's hard to find that off ramp to the top road.
How about Tesla?
How about Tesla? I'm a little
come
Tesla.
On.
Oh, this is a birthday special.
It is.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who of course came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That is weird.
That I said was it twice. A Moment with Kevin.
That's weird. Who would do that? Who would write a rap for the guy who invented the Tesla car?
Oh, you know what?
No one. No one would.
And by the way, our listeners who are furiously typing to us right now, we know. Okay? We know. That's the point.
I got 1,000 tweets the first time I said it twice, which is a bigger problem. And then I got 1,000 tweets. And then the next day I made some joke about, I'm surprised no one corrected me. And then I got another 1,000. And then all of the podcast listeners decided they needed to correct me. Yeah. So I was wrong, and I know it.
Kevin now is well-versed on the history of Nikola Tesla.
That's right.
And what the role he played in developing.
The car was named after him, people.
In developing alternating current.
Don't get that wrong.
Stuff like that.
People get upset.
Sad news, actor Richard Griffiths has passed away at the age of 65. Beloved by Harry Potter fans everywhere as the unsympathetic Uncle Vernon in that franchise. Also played Uncle Monty in the cult classic With Nail and I from the 80s. A brilliant stage as well as screen actor. Beloved in his country of England. Given many awards there, including his work in a play called The History Boys, which he also won a Tony for here in the States. 65 years old, passed away Thursday after complications following heart surgery. So, sad news.
Yeah.
This is great news, however. Lindsay Lohan! Lindsay Lohan is, she will not be denied prison, I think. She's got it set in her mind now. She refuses not to go to jail.
She's insisting on it?
She's insisting on it. First of all, I don't know if you've seen the photos out of Brazil. You know, she left recently out of LAX, flew to Brazil for some fashion event or something she was showing up at. Great photos on TMZ. Someone snapped of her at a nightclub, literally drunk under a table. In a short skirt, apparently just showing everyone.
The goods?
The goods. Like we all haven't been there already. Under a table. Just smashed. Literally drinking someone under a table, familiar with that phrase? Someone literally drank her under the table. And then this story breaks. People on the set of Anger Management, none too pleased with Ms. Lohan. This coming from TMZ as well. Lindsay decided, after filming there on the set, that she was going to go clubbing. Shock. But what are you going to do? What do you do when you don't have a lot of choices when it comes to your wardrobe? your accessories? Well, she simply went to the wardrobe department and stole a bracelet, a necklace, earrings, some pants, and some shoes.
She really believes all things are hers for the taking.
She's like a three-year-old. Mine! And just grabs it. Actually, no, because my daughter's three and she's much more well-behaved than that. She's like a one-and-a-half-year-old. Mine! Just grabs stuff off a table and just walks away with it. The stuff never came back. Now, Lindsay's people told sources that the deal was producers would just take the value of the items out of her salary. But TMZ reports that is absolutely not the case. By the way, while she was on the set there, no one happy working with Lindsay.
Wow.
Showed up 2 hours late the second day, according to sources. Refused to come out of her trailer for 2 hours. Left early to go clubbing, then threatened not to return. Sources say when she rapped on the set of Anger Management, the crew...
She raps? That's fantastic.
That's showbiz speak where she finished up her job. Oh. When she rapped on the set, the crew broke out in applause.
Wow.
Ralph, that is very similar to the experience we heard of her making that movie, The Canyons,
yes,
too, in terms of not coming out of the trailer and being late and everybody being glad when she was done and stuff.
That's what gives it that air of truth to it when you read that story.
They say, guilty, 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 guilty.
See, I can
guilty.
See that happening. You know what else has an air of truth about it? John Hamm's packing. I told you the story earlier that sources tell the press that on the set of Mad Men these days, now that the film is, the show is taking place later in the 60s, the pants are getting tighter on John Hamm's character of Don Draper, and John has a tendency to go commando, and the producers had to step in and ask him to start wearing underwear to sheathe Excalibur, as it were. Well, both Jockey and now Fruit of the Loom have stepped up, offering John a lifetime supply of underwear to keep everything located in one particular region so they can work with it on the set. Rumor has it, after John Hamm's penis wrapped, the crew broke out in applause. It's just too much of a prima donna to work with.
Are you a little bit nervous, Ralph, as a Mad Men fan, to see the show get into 1967?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Because I thought that was what was brilliant about the show was that early 60s America and seeing how they dealt with all those. And it just, I don't know, now we're starting to get into just a very funky time with the psychedelic music and the crazy, you know, the drugs and everything.
The kids with their lava lamps. Why would that make me nervous? The show is brilliant and dealing with huge social and political issues, but in a very microcosm way, dealing with people's the real lives of people and how it affected them.
I guess I'm just sad to see it leaving the era that I think made that show so special, because it was, you know, so well done, and I hadn't seen that before.
Well, you have to trust the writing, man.
No, yeah, I do. Look, I'm going to be watching. Believe me,
I don't think
you can't stop me from watching. I'm just nervous.
You don't get to watch. You don't watch now. You don't trust them. You don't trust them.
I've seen some of the stills from the new season of some of the characters wearing.
Really?
You've
seen some stills? Well, I would base everything on that.
Unfamiliar with the term?
If I've seen a photo.
No, but that's what you're judging
the season. Well, the rest of my sentence was that I've seen, you know, some of the crazy outfits that they're wearing from 1967. It just makes me nervous, and it looks like the show's changing a lot.
People did and do and did and does and do.
Well, that I can't argue with any of that.
And did.
And done.
I mean, we saw it last year, last season.
Just write a letter.
Don's wife was starting to wear this psychedelic outfit. They're dropping acid and, Beatles music. They were dealing with the onslaught of Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch. That's what I'm saying. I can't wait.
You don't get
to
know, man, because you weren't there.
You don't know. You weren't there.
He saw some stills.
You don't watch. You don't get nothing. You get nothing, sir. Good day, sir. Oh, now I'm furious. I can't even continue. I have to go right to birthdays. Celebrity birthdays today, besides our own beloved Kevin Ryder.
Birthday.
Other celebrity birthdays.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
Let's see, you're blowing out the candle on their birthdays. Jeez, I feel like Big Boy or something. Lucy Lawless from Xena Warrior Princess is 45. Elle McPherson blowing out her birthday candles. She got 50 of them. Perry Farrell blowing out candles too.
What?
54 birthday candles. Christopher Lambert. Mother F. Highlander. 56 birthday candles. Comedian Eric Idle. Monty Mother F. and Python. 70 birthday candles.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot.
Yeah.
And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing.
When you're feeling in the dumps, dabby silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on.
Kevin whistles the hits. Eric Idle's 70 years old today. Those are the birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Huge show on Monday. We have Seth Green in the studio. We have Chris Hardwick talking The Walking Dead. We have Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew in the studio.
Ow!
Carson Daly as well.
Ow!
And Hardy Levin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fire beer mug.
Yeah, really.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Glenda be there?
No.
Roll another one.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Just like the other one.
Who wants that?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Shut up, dummy.
And I need another hit.
Take her off the blue line. Take the shirt. It's gone. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening.
Old school
bitches.
Roll another one.
Death to me!
Just like the other one.
Yeah! That's hot!
This one seems to be about sex.
The Bible says they're worthy of death.
I don't have another cent.
Guess how many boobs I saw today, Mark? 15.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
Hey. Just pass it around.
I am the one who knocks.
What did you do?
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
What are we laughing about?
Oh, Kevin.
I don't get it.
It was horrible beyond measure. Mass hysteria.
It was entertaining because it was terrible.
Quiet down, please. Listen, this is an emergency, but we're trying to get things under control. In order to do that, we have to clear this area immediately. So please go home and stay there. We'll keep in touch with you through your radio station.